St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I want to use for a thought, a title, a topic today, the essentials of worship. Amen. The essentials of worship. Lord, am I going too fast for you? Maybe I'll slow it down. And the Bible says that we are to come before him with singing. His presence. With what? Singing. And the problem here now is that we all have a song, but we don't all want to sing it. We all have a song. Everybody in here has a song for what God has done for you. It may not be a song like you want it to sound, but I guarantee you got a song that God has given you. You know what songs really are? Songs are testimony. You know what psalms are? Psalms are prayers and testimonies. David said, in my distress, I called on the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's a song. Amen. And what David was saying is, in my testimony, I thought I was going to die in front of Abimelech, but I started to act a fool and praise God. And all of a sudden he said, I can't mess with this man. This can't be the David I heard about. I wish I had somebody, but the Lord delivered him. Do I have anybody that say, I had some stuff going on in my life, but when I came out of it, oh, come on and say amen, I couldn't do nothing but give God some praise and lift up his holy name. And maybe you only did it in the shower, but at least you sung it. I wish I had somebody. He said, come before his presence with what? Singing. Talk about how good God is. Talk about how great God is. And that's why when you pray, sometimes your prayer turns into a song. Your prayer turns into, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I appreciate everything you've done. And you get your little rhythm and your breathing get right and you start feeling good, because now your prayer has just turned into a song, because at that moment it's kicked in and now you're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Let me go on a little further. I don't want to hold you very long, but I want to get this to you. Amen. He says in verse 3, he says, now we got a reason to praise God here in verse 3. He said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now we ought to worship God because of who he is. And we praise him because of what he's done. So he tells us, it is he that hath made us. Now we got to praise him because, first of all, we worship him because he's God. And if he's God, he's sovereign. What does that mean? He's super reigning. He reigns supreme. There's no other reign above him. And since he's sovereign, he can do what he wants. So I don't have a right to complain and stop praising him. I don't have a right to complain and stop praying to him. I don't have a right to complain and hold back my worship from him. I wish I had somebody. We don't have a right to stop praising and worshiping God, because it is right for us to worship him. Verse 3 says also, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And we think that sometime I'm a self-made man. Oh, you better watch out, pride. I'm not a self-made man. I'm a God-made man. And you know what? You may not like how God made me. You may not like the stuff that I had to go through to get to where I am today. But thanks be to God, I'm here where I am today. All glory be to God. You know, some people, you know, they have problem with your past and they have problem with whatever you do. But, you know, we're all being made by God. And I'm still on the wheel. I don't know about you, but I'm still on the wheel. I'm still a work in progress. You hadn't seen the finished product yet. What you see right here is somebody who's God's hand is on. Somebody who God is still what? Molding and making. Somebody who God is still shaping. And so if you're ever to the point where you say, I am all that I'm going to be and I'm made already, then you are at the point that there ain't nothing else for God to do but to take you on home, because it ain't no more making now. See, as long as you're able, as long as you're flexible enough to be bent a little bit and flexible enough to be smoothed out and to be pushed in, and when you feel that pressure, know that it's God that's making me. I'm still on the potter's wheel, and sometimes he have to break me down and make me over again. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm just like that? It is God that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We need to know who we belong to. I know who I belong to. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that God is the one that owns me. The earth is the Lord. And, oh, come on and say amen. And everybody that's in the earth belongs to God. And since everything and everybody belong to God, I don't have a right to judge another man's servant, another man's creation. I wish I had somebody. So watch how you treat me, and I got to watch how I treat you. Because when I treat you wrong, I'm treating the very word of God wrong, because you are a word from God. Nothing exists without God's word making it exist. I wish I had somebody in here today. All right. Okay. I can't get too many amens, but that's all right. He said, we are his people. Then he goes on to say, the sheep of his what? Pasture. In other words, we are the products of God's love and kindness. And not only that, he's pastured us. And what does that mean? When we realize that he is our provider, we realize that I can't make it without God. And when a person realizes that they can't make it without God, they don't have a problem praising and worshiping God. They don't have a problem praying to God. They don't have a problem lifting up God. They don't have a problem agreeing with you that God is good. Oh, hallelujah. They don't have a problem joining in when you praise God. They ain't got to ask what you praising God for. If you saying hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. That's the kind of people I want to be around. When they you say praise the Lord, they react with praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Because he is worthy to be praised. Amen. He says that we are the sheep of his pasture. And if we are the sheep of his pasture, we got to remember that he's the shepherd. And if he's the shepherd, we got to remember the legend of the shepherd. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd guides us. He leads us. If we fall, he has a rod. He has a rod for the wolf, that if the wolf come in, he's going to beat the wolf until he die with his rod. Boom. But he has a staff for those he leads. And what does a staff represent? Staff, it represents where whenever it has a crook on the end of it. And what he does is that when a sheep falls through the cracks, he reaches down and he hooks him. And he pull him out of the, and you know, I know this. The reason I'm a witness of this is because I fell in the cracks. And I know the shepherd will pick you up out of the cracks. Lord, have mercy here. And you know what else is for? It is for when a sheep, you know, the sheep, if you ever watch how they move and how they follow the shepherd, you got one in the front, and then they kind of all kind of pack in behind them, and it's kind of like triangular in the way that they follow the shepherd. But sometimes there's that sheep that get out of line, and the shepherd turn around and look, and instead of him saying, get back in line, he just grabbed him, and with that staff, and he yanks him back. And sometimes, you know how I know that? Let me tell y'all how I know it. Let me testify. Because I did this one day. And I realized that I was wrong when he grabbed me and yanked me back in line. But the Bible says, a just man, he falleth 7 times, but he get back up. Do I have anybody other than me that the shepherd has grabbed and put back in line and told you that it's all right? I know you got out of line, but you're back in line now. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Oh, last thing. Let me tell you the last thing about the shepherd. The shepherd, whenever one go way astray and he miss him and he get way out of line, he had to go hunt him down, because Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And he said, I leave the 99 and go find the one. Don't you know that's how important you are to him? That if you go away from everybody else, he's still right there with you and he'll go and protect you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was talking about how they had been out in the world and all the stuff that they had done. Time to come out them streets. I said, do you know that God was with you while you was in the street? Because you know what? A whole bunch of stuff could have happened to you. And the Bible said that the devil is here to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if God wanted to let the devil destroy you, he would have let him done it then. But since God's hand has been on you, you was out there in the street not realizing that the shepherd was still protecting you. He was hunting for you. He was right there down with you while you were going through your mess and in your stress. Oh, God was right there all the time. And let me tell you how I know, because I've been there. I know what God will do while you go out there and do what you want to do. And if it hadn't been for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here today. let me say, what else the shepherd does when you go way out, he says, oh, I see now you want to keep walking off. So I'm going to have to teach you a lesson. So what he does, he breaks your leg, sets your leg back in place, takes the oil of God and put the oil on it and binds you up and get kind of a cast on that leg. But then he takes you and he throws you over his shoulder. And he carries you. Lord have mercy. He carries you while you're in your broke leg state. In other words, when you can't put pressure on it, when you can't do it yourself, the shepherd decides, I'm gonna carry you. And while he's carrying you, do you know that he puts you on the left side so you can feel his heartbeat, so you'll know what he wants? I wish I had somebody. That's the time when you get to know him better, because you can't feed yourself. You can't run with the other sheep. You can't water yourself. So he does it all for you. And so whenever you begin to heal up and he puts you back on the ground, you decide, you know what? I ain't never going astray again, because he was there when I couldn't hold myself up. He held me up. When I couldn't walk, he walked for me. When I couldn't feed myself, he fed me. Do I have anybody in the house that understands what the shepherd will do for you? The shepherd will feed you, and then you'll follow him, because you realize when it was my hardest time, it was the shepherd that kept me. It was the shepherd that protected me. When he went to sleep, I laid on his chest. When he woke up, I rode on his shoulder. He bared the burden for me when I couldn't bear it for myself. So I thank God that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, glory be to God. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with being a sheep. The Bible said, you know, when we talk about sheep, that everything that we call a sheep a flock of sheep. But everything that is a flock seems like it has wings. You have a flock of chickens, a flock of duck, a flock of birds, whatever. Everything, a flock of geese. You know, when we start talking about that, everything that has feathers have flock. But why is it that they call that when they talk about sheep, they say it's a flock of sheep and not a herd, like they're a herd of goats and a herd of cattle? Well, I thought about this and it dawned on me. The reason why is because the Bible say they that walk shall, oh, come on and say amen here. He said, you'll walk and not faint. You'll run and not get weary. Walk and not faint. He said, and then you'll what? Mount up with wings as, now that means that if a sheep can mount up with wings. David said, if I had the wings of a morning dove, I would just fly away. And so I realize it ain't nothing wrong with being his sheep, because whenever trouble come my way, I can fly higher than the mess on the, oh Lord have mercy. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna try to get finished. I'm sorry, I'm going longer than I should. I don't have all that wrote down, but I'm going with it. Say, the sheep of his what? Pasture. Verse 4 say, enter into his gates. We gotta learn how to enter. We got to learn how to come before the Lord. We come any kind of way. It's dangerous to have the wrong attitude and to come any kind of way in the presence of God. Do you know if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, that a lot of us would die as soon as we come in the presence of God? You'll be as a dead person. Because if we don't enter God's presence right, he sees that and he'll put you down right quick. Because he won't allow you to be pompous and pious and prideful and angry and selfish in his presence. Lord have mercy. Make me wonder who gets in his presence, because in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. I can tell you ain't been in his presence, because you ain't got no joy. You don't have no joy. I can tell you. You talk about all that church y'all having, you ain't in God's presence. You just there. You just at the church. You ain't in his presence. Oh, Lord. Say verse 4, enter into his what? Gates with thanksgiving. Now here we have to get an understanding of the tabernacle, and it's part of worship. The tabernacle, when Moses' tabernacle was built, the tabernacle had gate. It had a fence around it, a gate, and he inside he had the outer court, the inner court. You had the holies of holies, which were the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where you wanted the priest to get to, because that would give you that would bring you before God. He would represent you, and then when he comes out and he represents God to you. You understand that? So he represents you. He goes in. But when he comes out of God's presence, that's why when Moses would come down off the mountain, he went to God representing the people. But when he came from God, he represented God to the people. And they said, Moses, you need to cover your face, because we can't stand to see God on you like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all get that. I hope you get that. But so, so just to let you know, God gave us a different tabernacle, the tabernacle of David, where it was just the presence of God. You just walk in the presence. But I won't get into that yet. But when he said, enter into his gates, and what God did, he told Moses, he said, Moses, put the children of Israel here and there. He told them where he wanted them to be. He told them, I need you to put Judah at the gate, the front gate. Yeah. Judah means what?
Praise.
And in order for you to get in the temple, in order for you to get in the tabernacle or to the tabernacle, you have to walk through a bunch of praising, crazy folks that, Lord have mercy here. You have to walk, you can't come, see, and you can't come into, you can't come to the temple sad with your head hanging down. Nobody knows the trouble. You can't come in singing the blues. Lord have mercy. Because by the time you got to the gate, it was so many folks yelling, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, oh, glory to his name. It was so many people singing about the goodness of God. By the time you got to the gate, you were singing too. You were happy too. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory. Like we talked about last week, remember Saul sent some people to kill David, but the Bible says when they got to the place where the prophets was praising God, that they stopped and they started praising God too, and you can't help but join in. You can't beat us. You might as well join us. You can't stay looking like a statue all the time. You got to sometime lift up your head. You got to sometime lift up your hands. You got to sometime put those hands together and open up your mouth and give God some praise. So you can't get in if you don't have praise in your heart and a praise off your lips. He said, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. That means that I've been thinking about how good God is. I've been thinking about what God has done for me. I've been thinking about how good God's been to my children. I've been thinking about if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I've been thinking about that. Am I going too long? Y'all be all right. We're all right. I'm almost done here. He said, he said, enter with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? Praise. I can't get in the gate if I ain't thankful, if my attitude ain't thankful. I can't get in the gate to get to God's presence. He said, into his courts. And see, a lot of time what we got to understand is that when you come into the outer court in the temple or in the tabernacle, the outer court is where all the blood was and all the flesh was. And sometime I got to come through the flesh. Sometime I got to, and that's where the flesh was what killed. The flesh was destroyed right there. And they put it in the fire. I wish I had somebody. And so I got to come through the fire. I got to come through the flood of the blood. I got to walk through all, come on and say, man, all this flesh, I got to take it off in order to get to the inner court, in order to get to the altar of incense so I can pray, in order to get to the table of shoe bread where I can eat. Oh, come on and say, man, here, in order to get to the holies of holies where God's presence is, I got to go through some stuff. He said, enter into his courts with what? Praise. In other words, we got to learn how to lift him up. We got to learn how to tehillah God. In other words, we got to praise God because he paid it all. I got to praise God because he gave me a ticket in this place. I got to praise God because he paid my admission to get, oh, Lord, have mercy here. Y'all don't get that, huh? You know how when you go somewhere, you got to pay admission to get in? God said, in order to get here already, your admission has been paid. How did my admission get paid? It got paid through the blood of Jesus. When Jesus hung, bled, and died, he paid the price so that I could enter in the presence of God. Come on and shout glory to his name. He said, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. I need to be thankful. I need to make sure. And see, the word thanksgiving is different from the word thankful in the text. Because when you're thankful, he's telling us that we need to learn to be thankful. And this thankfulness is an attitude of gratitude. I need to not only just thank him for what he's done, but I need to be thankful for what he can do, what he's about to do, what I know he's capable of. If God doesn't do it, he's still capable of doing it. If God hadn't healed me and I'm in here, he's still capable of healing me. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be my witnesses today. And amen. And when they were told they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, they told him that go ahead and throw us in. He said, the God that we serve, even if he don't do it, it don't mean that he's not able to do it. So I'm all right with whatever God brings my way. Do I have anybody that said that if God don't do it, I still serve him. If God don't do it today, I'm still going to lift his name. If God don't help me out right now, I'm still going to say thank you, Jesus. If God don't make a way right now, I'm still going to lift him up. In the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I'm still going to magnify and praise his holy name. Do I have anybody? Oh, glory be to God. I bless his name. To bless his name means to bow down. When I come in his presence, I'm going to bow down. I can't stay high and lifted up. I got to make sure he's high and lifted up. I wish I had somebody that he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. I wish I had a few people in here today that realize that I got to humble myself. There's a church in Israel called the Church of the Nativity. And in that church, you can't just walk through the door lifted up. The doorway is about this tall. The doorway is about this tall. So everybody that goes in, you got to bend down in order to go in and worship. In other words, they said, now you come into the place, the Church of the Nativity is the place that they build a church on top of, that they believe that Christ was born there. And so you can go to the church, and it's a place you can go down in there, and you'll see the cave that he was born in, and the place that Mary laid him when he was born. And they show you that, and they mark it with a star. And it's so many people come through there, they rub it, and they kiss it, and everything. But they have to bow down in order to get in there. And all they're saying is that you can't come before the Savior with pride. You can't come lifted up in your own conceit. You have to learn how to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Do I have anybody today that say, I'm not lifted up. I'm coming in an humble way. I'm coming in a submitted way so I can bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What is he saying here? That the praise ought to be perpetual when I get in there. I ought to not let his name go down. I ought to not let the praises stop, to let praises ring out when I get there. For the Lord is good. This is a testimony. This is a testimony of God's goodness, that he is good, and his mercy is what? Everlasting. In other words, no matter what I go through, his mercy is everlasting. And so this morning when I woke up, his mercies was new unto me. Last night I might have messed up. Last night, ain't no telling what I did yesterday. I might have offended somebody, but God's mercies are new this morning. I wish I had some people who are great, who are gracious enough to know that God's mercies are new today. And so when I think about that and I start talking about how his mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you really deserve. Because sometimes I can look back, we've been dirty, we've been bad, we've done some wrong, and God decided not to pay us according to our acts. He decided that I'm not going to give you what you really deserve, but I'm going to turn around and give you what you don't deserve. I'm going to give you some grace. I'm going to give you what you really need. Oh, come on and say amen here. But then he goes on to talk about his truth and do it to all generations. And when he start talking about the truth to every generation, the truth is represented to him of his word. And when you think about the word of God, it doesn't matter who the governor is. It doesn't matter who the president is. And all of everybody who's panicking because it ain't going their way. The Bible says his truth endured forever. No matter what you put on top of truth, truth will still rise up out of the dust and be declared as truth. And what I realize the Bible says is not that truth will set you free, but he said the truth will make you free. In other words, I don't have to do anything except let the truth be told, and I can be free. Come on and say amen. I'm telling you right now, the truth endured not only to me, but to my, not only to my grandmama and my mama, but the truth endures to me and my children. So every generation will have a word. The same word that healed me will be able to heal a grandchild of mine. The same word. I wish I had somebody that say, I know the essentials of worship is when I come before the Lord with praise, when I know who he is and worship him, when I give him prayer service, when I realize that his love is everlasting. I wish I had somebody that said, I want to praise God regardless. I'm going to praise him whatever go, everything going wrong. I'm going to praise him. See, you got to understand something. The Bible says that when you look at the maps of the Bible, I've said this before, but listen up again. The Bible has Judah in one space, but inside of Judah, there's a circle, and in that circle is Simeon. And what does this mean to us, Pastor Holden? It means that you need to just pay attention one more minute. It means that when you're in Simeon, Simeon implies hearing. And the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if hearing or Simeon is in the middle of Judah, that whenever you go out of Judah or Simeon, you'll end up in Judah. See, sometimes we can have faith and not praise God. Oh, come on and say amen. But you cannot praise God and not have faith. Preaching here. In other words, what I'm saying is that as soon as your faith decides to rise up and move, your faith decides to do something, then your faith ends up in praise. And so whenever I'm believing God for something, I'm not saying I believe God and then I sit down and cross my hands and cross my legs and say I'm just waiting on Jesus. No, when I believe God for something, my hands go up and say thank you. My feet get light and say I'm praising you. I'm going to dance in advance because I know my God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Do I have anybody that say I believe that the Lord wants me to praise him? Because I got a sneaky suspicion that something is about to happen, that God is about to heal somebody, that God is about to deliver somebody, that God is about to open up a door that's been closed in somebody his face. So I'm going to praise the Lord because I know God will. I know God can. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I don't know what God's going to do next, but I trust him enough to know that it's going to work for my good. The Bible say all things work together for the good of God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Do I have anybody in the house that said it don't matter what happens, it's still working for my good? So I'm going to keep on praising him. I'm going to keep lifting him up. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. See, some of us don't know when to praise God. That was your cue to praise because you've been in some stuff. You've been in some mess. And that's your time to say, Lord, I thank you. I don't know how this mess is going to work out. My money is funny and my change is strange, but I know you make a way for me. Oh, come on and say amen here. A person who knows that it's going to be all right realizes that if God be for us, then who can be against us? And they stop and praise God. I know they lied on you, but I dare you to jump up and give God some praise. I know they talked about you, but it's all right to wave your hands and say, I thank you, Lord. They talked about Jesus, and now they're talking about me. Come on and shout yes here. Oh, trouble in your way, but that's all right. Praise the Lord and give God some high praise. Come on and shout hallelujah. See, I know you can praise God because if a skunk can stink a praise and a dog can bark a praise and a cow can moo a praise and a cat can meow a praise, I wish I had somebody, and a bird can sing a praise, what about you? You ought to be able to rear your head back and lift up your voice and shout, I know he's all right. Won't God do it for you? Won't God make a way for you? Won't he turn your enemies unto your footstool? Come on and shout yes. Come on and shout glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, I feel better. Anybody feel better? Since I laid my burden down, do I have anybody that say, I'm going to praise him? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear it, and they'll be glad. Come on and say yes. Come on and shout yes. Won't God be a fixer for you? Won't God be a friend for you? Oh, come on and shout yes. He said, no man take my life, but I lay it down for